Right, thank you very much for the opportunity to show my my results here for you today. So basically, right. Here in this study, we compare the genome integrity between fast and slow cleaving embryos in porcine embryos. So studies have been shown that the embryos that cleave before the 24 hours, they develop better to the blastocyst stage than the embryos that cleave after the 24 hours or the slow developing embryos. And it can it happens in IVF embryos, in somatic cell nuclear transfer embryos, and parthenogenetic activated embryos, as you can see the difference in between the fast developing embryos and the slow developing embryos. It is in porcine and humans. Studies have also shown that the fast developing embryos have higher implantation rates than the slow developing embryos. So these results together indicates that the fast developing embryos have better developmental competence than the slow cleaving embryos. So studies have been also shown that the genome integrity is also important for embryo development. The HOX, as you know, is a marker for DNA damage. And in this study, they induced DNA damage in the male or female pronuclear in mice and observed a reduction in the cleavage rate, and also they have no embryonic development in these embryos. So it shows that the genome integrity is critical for embryonic development. In our previous study, where we characterized DNA damage during embryo development in pig, in IVF and somatic cell nuclear transfer embryos, we observed that at 40 hours, the embryos with two cells have more DNA damage than the embryos with four cells at the same time, at 40 hours. So it indicates that the genome integrity is an important factor regulating the developmental or the speed of embryo development. So in this study, we then evaluate, the objective is to evaluate the occurrence of DNA double-strand breaks in fast and slow cleaving embryos, and also to access the transcript abundance of genes involved with DNA damage repair and cell cycle control in fast and slow cleaving embryos. So the DNA double-strand breaks are the more important kind of DNA damage we have in the genome, and it can happen by replication errors, by produce of metabolism, ionizing radiation, UV light, or chemical agents. So after the occurrence of DNA double-strand breaks, we have the activation of some kinase proteins, ATM, ATR, and DNA-PK. And these kinases will phosphorylate the histone H2AX in the sites of double-strand breaks, as you can see here. It's easily visualized by immunofluorescence. So the foci represent one site of DNA double-strand breaks. So I want to just highlight a little bit more the H3X, because it is a key factor for in the process of DNA double-strand break repair. So independent of the origin of DNA double-strand break, we have the phosphorylation of this H3X, and then the H3X will participate in the activation of checkpoints like CHK1 and CHK2 that will stop the cell cycle to allow the DNA damage repair before DNA replication. And also is important because it serves like a docking site for DNA signaling and repair proteins during the process. And also is important for the chromatin remodeling in the sites of DNA double-strand break. So we have two main pathways for DNA damage repair, the homologous recombination, the non-homologous end joining pathway. Each one have a specific factor signaling and repair proteins in each pathway. And in this study, we're going to look at the bioimmunofluorescence, the H2AX in RAD51 in the nuclei of embryos to evaluate the DNA damage. And we also going to look at the gene expression from both pathways for DNA damage repair. So the experimental model, the embryos were, the oocytes were in vitro maturated, the porcine oocytes were in vitro maturated, were activated, and at 24 hours, we evaluate the cleavage to select the fast cleaving embryos, and then at 40 hours we selected the slow cleaving embryos. Then the embryos were in vitro culture until day 3, 5, and 7, and then we evaluate the embryo development, number of cells, and the DNA damage by immunofluorescence and RT-qPCR. So when you look at the embryonic development, we have no difference between fast and slow cleaving embryos in the cleavage rate. However, we have bigger blastocyst rate in the fast cleaving embryos. We have also higher number of cells in the fast cleaving embryos at day 3, 5, and 7. So in addition to produce higher blastocyst rate, the fast cleaving embryos produce embryos with higher quality as well. So when we look at the DNA damage in the day 3 embryos, we observe it by looking at the number of H3X foci and Rad51 in the nuclei of these embryos. We observe the higher abundance, higher number of H3X and Rad51 in these slow cleaving embryos. So it means that we have more DNA damage in these slow cleaving embryos. At day 5, we observed the same thing, so higher number of H3X and Rad51 in these embryos, so more DNA damage in these slow cleaving embryos. However, at day 7, when you look at the number of H3X in the nuclei of these embryos, we have no difference, so it means we have no difference in terms of genome integrity at day 7. So despite the fact that the fast cleaving embryos produce embryos with higher quality, in terms of genome integrity, we have no difference at day 7. So it suggests that maybe just embryos that could repair the DNA damage were able to develop into the blastocyst stage. So we then look at the mRNA abundance for the genes related with homologous recombination and non-homologous enjoining. And we saw at Rad51, Rad52, RIP1, ligase 4 and XRCC6, we have more mRNA abundance in the slow developing embryos. So it means it just confirmed the results observed by protein and strongly suggests that these embryos have more DNA damage from both pathways. So both pathways are participating in the process of DNA damage repair. At day 5, the embryos at day 5, we have almost all genes evaluated were more abundant, were more mRNA in the slow cleaving embryos. So again, confirm the results from protein. And then at day 7, when you look at the genes at day 7, we have no difference at all in the genes evaluated. So it suggests, again, that we have no difference in terms of genome integrity in the embryos that could develop to the blastocyst stage. So we then look at the some checkpoints that participate in the cell cycle regulation during the DNA damage repair. So at day 3, we observed higher abundance for check 1 on day 3, at day 5 for both checkpoints. So these checkpoints are stopping the cell cycle to allow the DNA damage repair to take place before DNA replication. At day 7, again, no difference between groups. So with these results, we can conclude that these slow cleaving embryos have higher DNA damage than the fast cleaving embryos. And the DNA damage induces expression of cell cycle checkpoint genes in slow cleaving embryos, and also that only embryos with less DNA damage and or superior capacity for DNA damage repair are able to develop into blastocysts. So I'd like to thank the Dr. Vilsel Bourgeon's lab, our collaborator Raj Dugavadi, and our research funds, and NSERC and the CNPq from Brazil for my scholarship. Thank you very much for your attention.
Some of them stop.
They just stop at day 7. At day 5, you can see they are still at 4 cells or sometimes at 2 cell stage. They stop.
Mm-hmm. And if you use your system, which with the gamma H2X, are you trying to just adjust media to see if the media composition, you know, you would have more fast-leaving embryos and so less DNA damage?
No, we didn't check it. We just compared between the slow and the fast cleaving embryos.
But it seems that day 7, that most, you know, even the slow cleavage and the fast cleavage, they look pretty much the same.
Yeah, exactly. But we have no difference.
Do you think that they will have the same competency to produce a live pig?
Probably not, because we know that the embryos with higher quality have more chance to produce a pig or whatever.
So they catch up to blastocysts, but they don't have the same competency to...
Probably not. We didn't check it, but probably not, as far as we know, right?
Sorry, I want to ask, and sometimes in the mouse embryo we see that the embryos that don't progress further, they tend to have multinucleated blastomeres.
Uh-huh.
So I was wondering, is it the same case here? And also, if you go, like, for example, look at the 8-cell stage or so on, do they polarize or not?
The first question, sometimes they like fragmentated embryos, right? Right?
Yeah, you see.
The fragmented, yeah, you can see the fragmented ones. But we just look at the, in terms of DNA damage. We don't look about the fragmentation. Maybe fragmentation is later, I don't know.
Sorry. Thank you, Rodrigo.
Welcome.